We're on page 128, chapter 12. So it's interesting, just as an introduction to the share today, one of the big discussions among, how shall we say this, the Jewish community in recent days has been who certain candidates have chosen as their advisors. Because as we all know, you can't possibly know everything and you can't possibly be aware. So very often, a person's advisors and the people that he turns to for advice are almost as important as the person himself. So when you evaluate a candidate, you have to ask yourself, well, what does he say about a certain issue? The answer is, well, who are the people that are advising him on that issue? And if you know who the people that are advising him are, then you know a little bit more about him. I don't want to get too political, but Raham Ibn Yavin. Okay. Because I'm not allowed to take a position, otherwise I have to get in trouble. Right. Anyway.
Just fire me?
Okay. Well, I don't care about getting fired, but the Sukkot could lose its tax exempt status, right? Okay. Vayelach Rechavam Shechem. Rechavam went to Shechem. Ki Shechem va'kol Yisrael hamlichotel. Last week we spoke about Shechem, because that's where everybody came to Shechem, in order to anoint him as a king. Now, where should, well, we did speak about Shechem last week, did we not?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Where should the anointing of the king be?
Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim. So why isn't it in Yerushalayim? But it tells you why he didn't go to Yerushalayim, but why didn't the people come to Yerushalayim? See, I got it, great. Why did the people not? It's a very good question. No? Mm-hmm. Why did the people not come to Jerusalem to anoint the king?
They read on the internet that the prophet had torn his clothes.
They had no idea.
Well, they didn't have the internet.
So right.
They had no idea.
They had no idea. Why did they not come to Jerusalem in order to anoint the king? Wouldn't that make sense? Isn't the capital?
It's just not where it was done.
Right. We come to that David. Shechem. It's about David on Shechem.
I don't think there is.
That's it. We're all set. Shechem. The Chashvam Asher of Yerushalayim beyond the Kamo, they thought that Yerushalayim is his place. Yitchazek limloch believe limalot to Eilatan. Right. Then he would go ahead and act as a king. You know, I can use the Hebrew one. That's all right. And go ahead and act as a king without fulfilling their desires, their wishes. So what does it tell you already that the king is going to Shechem in order to be anointed? He says, okay, everybody come to Yerushalayim.
It's something more automatically passed to him.
Right. All right, what does he assume?
Yes, go out and get it.
Well, no, he assumes that it's automatically, he's the son, his divine right. Now, by the way, I did a little more research into Rechavam. There isn't much information. Maybe we'll go into, as the story is going to come back to Rechavam at the end. In Divrei Hayamim, it does say some things about him, about Rechavam. Rechavam, in a sense, is almost like a victim, you know. Who is he a victim of?
His father.
Right, he's a Shlomo. Like, there's nothing Rechavam can possibly do in order to prevent what's going to happen from happening. Right? I mean, in a sense, we'll see. It's a good question. We're going to have to ask that question. But Rechavam, the Navi implies Rechavam is a pretty good guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and as we will soon see. So the fact that Rechavam says, come on down, everybody, come to anoint me. And they're all like, no, why don't you come to us?
That's already not a good
That doesn't
thing.
Really establish a very good precedent for monarchy. Last I checked, the kings called the shots and everybody else followed. But Rechavam was not like that. And the idea that they had to go, and we spoke about Shechem, the nature of the city, but even the very idea that he had to leave his city in order to make himself king doesn't really bode well for him. Vayihi, Kishma Yeravam ben Nevat, Vuhu Odenu ben Mitzrayim, Asher Barach Mitnei HaMelech Shlomo. Remember, Yeravam ben Nevat was the guy who stood up to Shlomo. Mm-hmm. He said, what are you doing? Why did you destroy that rampart that all the Jews used? Mm-hmm. Right? So Yeravam ben Nevat ran away to Egypt because otherwise the king would have killed him. So now he heard Shlomo is dead. Vayeshev Yeravam in Mitzrayim, and Yeravam was in Egypt. Vayishluchu vayikru lo vayavo Yeravam b'chol kahal Yisrael. They called, they sent, and they called to him. Who?
Jeroboam.
Who called Jeroboam? No, and they called?
The people.
What people?
The ones of Jerusalem.
What? Who did?
No, it says Vekol Kahayisa.
Vekol Kahayisa. Look at Mitzudah again, Mitzudah David. Vayishmechu, who? Ziknei Haida Shalchu Acharav. Already they're preparing. You know, they see the handwriting on the wall. So even before they have a plan, what did they get him for? Balachat Imahem El Rechavam. To go with Rechavam. Lihiot Lo, who? Rosh HaMedavrim. That he should be their leader. Al Kiyadubo Shalo Yasim Lemuyo Yad Lepeh. Because they knew that he would not. He would not. Let me sorry. Just finish the sentence. That he would. They would know. They would not attack with Yeravam there. That they would not, because Yeravam was strong. Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be very much pomp and circumstance surrounding Shlomo's death. It just, or did I miss it all last? I mean, usually when he was such a great king, he just died. Uh-huh. That's it. We don't hear anything mentioned. There was no funerary. There's no big deal about it. Is it because he was slipping in his old age? He was such a great king, and then he just, that's it. He's done.
Or it wasn't important for us to.
Right. Either it's not important, or he was a great king. Define greatness.
Building the temple, having all that wisdom, having all that wealth and mm-hmm. power, but at what cost?
So do you get a sense now? I mean, when David was so beloved, you remember after David died, so what did they do to Shlomo? They like anointed him and they had the whole thing. And now Shlomo died, and what did they do to his son?
Come meet us.
Maybe yes, maybe no, we'll decide, we have to figure it out, we'll talk about it. So one gets a sense that even though there was this great excitement, and I dare say even pride in Shlomo HaMelech, that all of that clearly had waned in the end of his days. And we'll see very clearly what it was all about, what the people were upset about. Okay,
the king, Shlomo, he did not prepare his son, Rehavam, to be the king after him.
Why?
Otherwise, you know, the people will accept him much better than.
What do you mean by prepare him?
Like putting him, you know, giving more authority.
Well, clearly, by the way, what we don't learn about is how many. Remember, you asked me how many children Shlomo had.
Right.
Couldn't find anything. Why Rechavam? Yeah, it was clear that Rechavam was chosen. Nobody ever said it shouldn't be Rechavam. That wasn't the discussion. I mean, what could Shlomo have done to prepare Rechavam better? This isn't a referendum on Rechavam. Who is it a referendum on?
Shlomo.
On Shlomo. Yeah. Right. I mean, you almost see it. I mean, I'll get political, right? Now you see, right, with the whole Hillary thing, she was the anointed one, and now you see people getting sick of her. Mm-hmm. And one wonders, are they sick of her? Or are they sick of her husband?
That's an interesting one.
They call it Clinton fatigue. Yeah, who wants another Clinton? Not about Clinton. We had Clinton. We need change. Yeah. Whatever that means. Okay.
Did you see Saturday Night Live?
I don't watch such things.
No. You might have been interested in their version of it.
Okay. Okay. So they called Yeravam by Yidavu al Rechavam Meimor. They sent the following message to Rechavam. Avicha hiksha et uleinu. Your father made our yoke hard. Ata hakel me'avodat avicha hakasha. Lighten the load from what your father gave us. Ume ulo hachabein asher natan aleinu. And from the heavy yoke that he placed on us. V'na avdecha. We'll worship you. So they have a very simple question. What do they want from him?
Ease the taxes. No more taxes.
Lower the taxes. Read my list. No taxes. End the taxes. It's very clear what are they upset about. Remember all the things that we learned about in chapter Yud Aleph about the pomp and the opulence that Shlomo had built up?
Yeah.
Well, somebody had to suffer for that. Somebody has to pay for all that. Where does it come from?
Little people.
Right, comes on the backs of the little people. Right, so we know you're the king. Your father built it up and it was great and all that. Ease it off a little bit.
Right.
If you ease off, you know, then we'll serve you. They say we'll serve you. They're willing to serve. But this is our condition.
But it's a little disingenuous.
Why?
Rogo, the comment at the head of this delegation, would say, lower the taxes and more clergy when he very well knew what he was going to do.
You think so? Do you think Yerovam at this point thinks that he's going to be the king? Yerovam's initial rebellion, I mean, there's a lot of, by the way, if we're upset with Shlomo for the wives that he had, and the behaviors that his wives were permitted, how do you think people felt?
Annoyed, disgusted.
Frustrated, disappointed, right? They expect Shlomo HaMelech to follow. I mean, everybody knows what the prophets say. It's supposed to be a Jewish religious monarchy. And this is what goes on? And this is what we are paying for? This is what I'm suffering for? They can tax me so that Solomon's wife from Egypt can have another horse? They can have another chariot so that she can worship another idol?
Do we get the understanding that the people are also corrupt?
Where do you get that sense?
I mean, their king is corrupt.
Oh, no.
He turned a blind eye to it?
He's not corrupt. What is he?
Foolish?
No, he's not foolish. He's very wise. What is he?
Powerless.
What?
Powerless.
He was powerful. Notice that they wait for Shlomo to die to say anything. Shlomo is?
Self-centered.
Enmeshed in himself. Enmeshed in the opulence and the power of the throne. And you know, that's the trick. When you're in the middle of it all you can see is how great everything is for everyone. Isn't it good? Look how all the other nations of the world respect us. Look how all the countries, they bow to us. They send us money. And all the people are saying, no, Shlomo, they send you money. When is the trickle-down economics going to benefit us? And so there's this discontent with leadership. What?
Where is the wisdom?
One gets a sense. That's a very good question. What would you say? I can answer it. What do you think? I always say to my students, there are only two wrong answers to what do you think. Nothing, and I don't know.
Wisdom serves whatever your goal is.
What?
Whatever your goal is, that's where your wisdom is directed.
Wisdom is an ability to see the world and understand things, and it was very clear he was wise in the sciences and he knew languages and he was very intelligent, but that doesn't mean necessarily the same thing as savvy.
Although I think when we think of him and asking for wisdom, we expect him to be, savvy. This is what's great.
Now also, God made his wisdom conditional. What was his wisdom conditional on?
Following
God. Maybe as he got older and the sinful behavior he allowed to continue, perhaps the wisdom waned. So clearly the people are disgruntled. Clearly they're not happy, right? I mean, I'm not making it up. They're very mad. And they're not mad at Rehoboam. They say very clearly, Avicha, your father, was too much. So how come he didn't see it? You know why he didn't see it? Because nobody can see your own faults. I mean, everybody can tell me my faults, but I don't want to know what they are. I like knowing that I'm perfect. You know what I'm saying? Everybody likes knowing that. Everybody else knows what your faults are. Shlomo was an unbelievable man. But he was unable to see that the opulence he thought was so important for the power of the country was ripping it apart.
He writes Echa and then he says...
He didn't write Echa.
Not Echa. Kol Hadam.
Yeah.
Kol Hadam, yes. He indulges himself in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It seems like, Shlomo, he married a Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? So they have good relation between Egypt.
No, we pointed out last week.
Huh?
The fact that he married his daughter doesn't mean there's good relations.
No.
No. Remember, in politics, everything is about what's in it for me. Okay? So you're asking, why did the Egyptians harbor Yerovam? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we discussed that last week. Why? Because power was always looking for an upper hand. It was a marriage of political convenience. Okay. But Yomar, let's go on, because I promised myself I would do the whole chapter. But Yomar Aleihem. Yeah, you don't believe it, right? But Yomar, it's going to happen. But Yomar Aleihem. L'chuat shlosha yamim b'shuva elai v'yachu ha'am. Go for 3 days, I will consider your suggestion, and then come back. Vayivaet HaMelech V'chavam et HaZikenim Asher Hayom Din B'fnei Shlomo Aviv. So who did he ask first? He asked the advisors that were with Shlomo his father, Biyoto Chai Leimor, when he was still alive, saying, Eich Atem Noasim L'Hashiv Et Ha'am HaZeh Davar. What do you guys think? What should I answer? Okay, so what do they say? They give him seasoned, wise, intelligent advice. Vayidaber Elav Leimor, they say, Im Hayom Tiyeh Eved La'am HaZeh, Va'avaritam V'initam V'anitam V'divarita Alehem Dvarim Tovim. If you will enslave yourself today, and you'll serve them, and you answer them, and you say to them nice things, then they'll be your servants for the rest of your life. But if you don't,
you'll lose them.
Right. Vayazov etzat hazkeim asher ya'atzuhu. He didn't like that advice. So since he didn't like that advice, what did he do? Right. That's the trick of being an advisor. Right. The problem of being an advisor is if you say what you think and not what you want, what the guy wants to hear,
you're out.
You're gone. Right? That's not good advice. Give me advice I want to hear. Right. That's the trick about being a good leader, also, isn't it? Right. Listening to the advice you don't want to hear. And objectively deciding what's correct, which is very tricky.
Why does it say that he's got bear and then we got that blue?
What do you mean?
What? That's tough.
Oh. It's written as Vayidaber,
yeah,
but it's pronounced Vayidabru. You always ask those linguistic questions, and the textual questions, and I never know. And this is, again, one of those examples. This is what you find it a lot in Tanakh, a Kri and a Ketiv.
The reason I ask is because I don't know.
Right. That could be.
They spoke with
very often. The Kri and the Ketiv are not necessarily the same.
Could it be as they spoke as one person?
That's what Maya said. Yeah, sure. I would have suggested that, but I don't know. I could suggest it. I like it, but I'm not sure if it's correct. Okay. He abandoned the elders, the old. That's old advice. You old guys don't know. This is a new generation. We need change.
Gee, where was that before?
Vayiva'ata ta'yiladim asher gadlu ito asher ha'umdim b'fanam. So he asked the yiladim. Isn't it like the Navi writes it?
That's correct.
The children that grew up with him. Right?
Not
he asked his cronies. How much experience do I have politically?
Zero.
Right? That's good advice. That's a good idea. You know, let me ask my political cronies. What do you think? They say, you know, you should lighten the load. Now, by the way, this is not, we know the outcome. It's not a simple question. Because it could go one of both ways. They say, lighten the load. So there's two possibilities. If you lighten the load now, it's a one-shot deal, and, you know, then you'll rule them forever. But on the other hand, if you lighten the load now, what else could happen? Right, you show that at the first sign of distress, the first sign of weakness, you're nothing. So it's not a simple matter. I mean, you know, it's not so simple to say, well, he took the obvious bad advice. Hindsight is always 20/20. You know, it's easy for us to say what he should have done, but it's not clear. The other factors are good factors. You want to be the king. If before you're anointed, we'll only follow you if. You know, no. What's the answer?
He was in a lose-lose situation.
Well, we didn't know that. What's the answer? What's the normal answer?
The normal answer would be, I'll make some concessions and we'll work together.
You're thinking democracy.
I'm the king. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm the king.
Never
mind.
Who are you?
I'll give the illusion of giving.
Why?
To make it look like I'm doing something.
And therefore, the next time? You read that book, if you give a mouse a cookie?
Yeah.
Who want a glass of milk? If I lighten the load now, what's going to happen in 5 years when I say, okay, load back up? Oh, well, what's going on here? Could be the elder's advice was not good advice. Necessarily. And what should Rechavam have done when the people rebelled?
Squash the rebellion.
That's what you do. You squash the rebellion. Right? And then you show, by the way, who did this? Who did that?
David.
David did it, and Shlomo did it. Remember, Shlomo had to deal with these individuals who were, you know,
oh,
Yoav and Shimi ben Gera and all those people. Everybody does it. You have your enemies you start out with. Okay, good. Let's have a little insurrection. We'll find out who they are, weed them out, and everything is great. Right? You know, Saddam is very good at that. Right? Who has problems? Everybody who wants to discuss issues with me, everybody raise your hand. Like, you know, 10 guys raise their hand. Everybody else is excused. We're going to have an important discussion with the leaders. Right?
Problem solved the problem.
Right, problem solved.
There was no problem.
Does he have the power to do this at this point?
Who, Rechavam? We'll see. Very good.
So his weakness already that he's going to stand.
Yes.
So it's already a weakness in the first place.
Right. Good point. By every level you led you, Mr. Galui Tali Morris. So those children who grew up with him said, "Kol Tomar La'am Hazeh, Asher Dibrei Lecha Lemar." Say this to this that nation who spoke to you, that insolent group of nothings. Avicha Hichbir Et Uleinu Va'ata Hakiam Eleinu. They said your father was too hard on us that you have to lighten up. Kol Tadaber Alehem Katani Ava Mimadnei Avicha. My little pinky is thicker than my father's loins. Meaning, who do you think you're messing with? The ata avihem is alechem ol kaved. Yeah, my father put a heavy burden on you. And he osif al ulchem.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to take more. Avi yisaretchem bashotim. My father just beat you with sticks. I'm going to beat you with scorpions. Now, I'm not entirely sure whether beating somebody with a scorpion would be effective or not, but it sounds tough. Okay? I mean, you know, it doesn't sound so great, does it? I'm going to beat you with a scorpion. How are you going to do that? I don't know. Okay.
So,
what?
Like a
scorpion. Ba'akrabim. How do they translate it?
It's a slang.
It says, I shall chastise you. My father chastised you with sticks, I shall chastise you with scorpions.
Yeah, that sounds bad enough.
Yeah, sounds tough. Okay?
I saw those.
Yeah. They came back on the third day. Yugimel. 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 And he abandoned the elders' advice, the seasoned elders. And he liked the advice of his friends. You nothings, you think. My father only had a stick. I've got scorpions. Get out of here. I don't want to see you ever again. Right? I'm the king. I decide. It's up to me.
But the wisdom didn't pass down to the son. That impression.
It's not. I'm saying to you, we know what happened in the end. We'll see. There's something that's going to prevent. Let's see what happens. Okay, we're gonna hold on to this. V'lo shema melech elam. The king did not listen to the nation. Why? Ki haytasi ba meim Hashem. Because it was a reason. It was a reason from God. Okay. The man hakim et dvarah asher diber Hashem. Biyad Achia Hashiloni El Yeravam Ben Nevat. This was part of the divine plan to fulfill God's word to Yeravam Ben Nevat, that the kingdom would split. So it's almost a foregone. It's not almost. It's a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen. Yeah, this also raises issues of
So did he have a choice?
Right.
Yes.
Mesudat Zavim. Look at Mesudat Zavim. On Tet Vav, Ki Haitasiba. You see it, Mesudat Zavim on Tet Vav, Ki Haitasiba? It says Mesudat Zavim. Batsalomar, it means to tell you, Lo Bavar Gadol Sichluto Heshiv Mache Heshiv. He did not answer what he answered because of his great foolishness. That answers your question, you know. It's not that he was a fool. Ki Ime Hashem Haita. It was from God. So about this particular event, did he have a choice?
No.
It seems that God took away his choice about this particular answer.
Well, that gets into the situation of, you know, do we have free will or not?
You think you have to have free will in every second of every day?
No, because there are things that control my actions, of course.
Right. One could argue, it doesn't
but
really...
I have a choice, I choose to let them control my actions.
No, no. If God decided right now that you were going to pick up that book and throw it at me, right? Could he do it?
Sure.
Does that take away your free choice?
Uh-huh.
About that book.
Because I would not choose to do that.
About that book it would, sure. But not about your life.
Well, what impacts the life?
Sure. When I press charges of you. Agreed, and this is the most important decision, and God took it away from him. Now, one could argue God could split the kingdom any number of ways. Could he not?
Yes.
So he chose one way. God has any number of ways of influencing people's decisions. It's clear, right, it does raise the issue of free choice, and it seems from the Matutah that God did take away his free choice for this particular issue, as we'll soon see. Well, he's going to get it back.
But then you wonder if the choices he makes then are his choices, or if those also were.
I understand, but the Navi clearly says that the reason why he made this choice was because it was from God. Okay? I understand your concern. Okay. I'm not discounting it.
Also.
What?
He does that.
I think he does not know that.
So how does the Navi know that?
Yeah, he knows it.
Could you also say that God knew this was the choice he was going to make? Make sure that it happens?
You can say whatever you want. I don't know. It makes it better to you that you knew that he would choose one way and God allowed it to happen? That's not what the prophet says. It says, the reason why this happened was because me Hashem Yatzarava. Okay? And Laman Hakim Etzvaro. Okay? Almost, when you want to read it, what you want to read is that there's an ultimate truth, okay? And that Rechavam, even though he didn't know that ultimate truth, his inclination was always to do the right thing. So in this case, the right thing, meaning i.e. what God wants, is personally a foolish thing. Mm-hmm. So he might be doing something without even knowing why he's doing it, right. Knowing that it's the right thing. Does that make you feel better?
Yes.
It does?
Nice.
No.
Okay, it doesn't make me feel better.
Well, those people who commit crimes and then say it's not their fault because somebody beat them up when they were 12 years old. And it's
I know, but this is not that.
They say that they do not have...
And what do we do with the people who say, well, the hand of God guided me?
No, that's
one thing.
I heard
voices. Okay. So they didn't listen. Yisrael, aleihem. So they saw that the king was not listening to them. Vayashivu ha'am et hamelech davar leimor. So they sent back the following word. Malanu chelek b'David, v'lo nachala b'ven Yishai. We have no portion in David and no inheritance in the son of Yishai. Lo halecha Yisrael, ata re'ei beitcha David. Go home to your houses, see your house of David. Vayelech Yisrael le'ohalav. So what do they do?
They went back to their homes.
We're going home. We are boycotting this inauguration. We want to have no part of it. This doesn't represent us. Which is almost unthinkable, by the way. Just the idea that they could say such a thing is unimaginable. Okay, now I want to hold off on Malacha Beit David, but then I'm going to come back to a midrash that you don't have, and I think there's a theme that develops as the parsha goes on that we're going to have to discuss, and it stems from this pasuk. So what Bnei Yisrael Yashrim Ba'arei Yehuda, but the Jews living in Yehuda, in the cities of Judah, Vayimloch Aleihem Rechavam. And they appoint Rechavam because, why do they appoint Rechavam? The people from Yehuda?
Because they're happy.
Well, why?
Because they've got the house of David. They
that's his tribe. Rechavam is from Yehuda. Okay. Yurchet. Vayishach HaMelech Rechavam El Adoram Asher Al Hamash. Adoram Asher Al Hamash. So what does he do? First thing the king does?
Sends out the tax collector.
Right? That's what the king does. That's, by the way, the only, connection that people have. Just like his father had done.
Right.
Vayigamu Kol Yisrael Bo Evan Vayamot. And they stoned him to death. Okay. V'hamelech Rechavam hit'amech la'alot b'merkava lanus Yerushalayim. And the king, he's got to book out of there, right? So he gets on his chariot, boom, back to Yerushalayim. Not a good sign when you send your tax collector out and they stone him to death. V'yifshu'u Yisrael b'beit David ad hayom hazeh. Okay? So the Jewish people, v'yifshu'u poshea, they rebelled against, is that how they translate it? They rebelled against the house of David until today, ad hayom hazeh. I mean, this is the beginning of the split that never was repaired. It was never mended. And that's a tragic thing. You're reading about probably one of the more tragic events in Jewish history. Because this split does not bode well for the Jewish people. Could you imagine if, Lahavdil, after the Civil War, the United States didn't return? Never
mended.
Right, never mended. That, imagine if the Union hadn't won the war.
North United States and South United States.
So the North would have been an intellectual whatever without the strength of the industrialism of the South. The South would have, you know, meandered along in its own southern ways, unaffected by the progress of the North, right? And then come along World War I and World War II.
We wouldn't have had the strength.
We would have had nothing, no ability to get involved in those conflicts and resolve anything. Think about then what happened to the Jewish nation. You have two Jewish nations. They spend most of their time doing what?
Fighting each other.
So what do you have left? How do you have a Jewish people? So it's hard to understand, but basically, we just saw the end of the heyday of the Jewish people. It lasted from about the middle of David's reign until the end of the reign of King Shlomo. Could probably 60 years. Maybe just the reign of Shlomo. And that's it. Part of the reign of Shlomo. Maybe 40 years altogether. So most of Jewish history, the 400 years before the building of the Bayit, and the 400 years almost after, bad. A little bit in between, that's what we're aiming for. You don't realize, you know, how tragic it really is, this split, this division. And we're still suffering from it today. No unified Jewish nation, so many competing agendas. Right, so many lost people. That's all we do now. We just fight with one another. We're very good at that. So when they found out, all the people found out that Yerobam was back, they called him back. They made him king over all of Israel. The only people that followed the house of David were the people from the tribe of Yehuda. So what's Rechavam going to do? They appoint another king? Oh no, they don't. What, they think they're going to have another White House somewhere else? No way. Rechavam comes back. And the tribe of Binyamin, 180,000 bachur osha milchama. One thing that Shlomo had was
warriors.
Money, horses, warriors.
Chariots.
Let's end this right now. We'll put it down. That'll be the end of that. We'll show them who's who. Fine. Behilachem ibeit Yisrael, to fight Israel. Lahashiv et hamelucha l'Rechavam ben Shlomo. To return the monarchy to Rechavam. And by the way, to be honest with you, if from Rechavam's perspective, it could very well be they clearly had considered it, and they thought that this was the best course of action. I mean, maybe they would decide, we'll put down the rebellion, we'll show them their place, and then we'll lower the taxes. But very often you have to do that. You have to, you know, you cannot, in any standoff, I'll put it that way, in any negotiating process, you cannot negotiate from a position of weakness. You can't. Even if the other side is a legitimate point. If they perceive you as being weak, then there's always concessions. That's why, you notice, by the way, every time the UAW this time had negotiations with I think all three car companies, right? Mm-hmm. Chrysler, what did they do? They all went on strike. We're going to strike. We're going to shut down this company. 10 hours later, what did they have? We came to an agreement. Mazel tov. I'm shocked. Why? Because they couldn't. They made, by the way, massive concessions. Massive, unheard of concessions in these contracts. They assumed responsibility for health care. They didn't get raises. Just incredible concessions. Why? Because to their own people, they had to negotiate not from a position of weakness, but we brought them back to the table. We brought the companies to their knees by striking.
Everyone knows. They didn't say, of course.
Right. I mean, maybe that was Rechavam's plan. Just plan all along. I mean, we know. We know it'll be bad. But we gotta first assume a position of strength. We already had to go out to Shechem, like you said. It's bad enough. We'll go back to Jerusalem, we'll bring back the army, we'll put down this little rebellion once and for all, and then we can leave.
On the other hand, the Chief Strikes, they were strong. They had the strength to negotiate. So when they went on strike, buildings,
it's very hard for anyone to feel bad for Hollywood studios raking in money hand over fist.
Exactly.
So they were in a position of strength.
They were in a position of strength.
Correct. Okay. So he's ready to go fight. He's ready to go defend his stake to the monarchy. Chaf bet. But God appears to the prophet. And more El Rechavam. Ben Shlomo, Melech Yehuda, Velko, Beit Yehuda, Binyamin, V'yatam, and what? Say to everybody, tell the Chavam the following. Chav Dalid, Ko Amar Hashem, so saith the Lord, Lo Ta'alu V'lo Tilchamun Imachichem B'nei Yisrael. Don't do it. Don't go fight. Shuvu Ish L'Beito, go home. Ki Me'iti Nihya Hadavar Hazeh. The reason why the kingdom split is because I wanted it that way. I wonder if you told him why. I'm sure you did tell him why. Right? Why? Rechavam has nothing to do with you. This was already a foregone conclusion from before your father was dead. This is the way it was going to be. And you can go fight this war, but it's not going to change. Because it came from me. It came from God. Now, that, I think, by the way, this is the answer to your question, Mrs. Lorch. This is the most important part of the verse. Vayishma'u et devar Hashem. Vayashuvu lalecha kidvar Hashem. God said no, and you know what they said? They listened. That's an unbelievable thing. Did he have free choice? It could have happened anyway. His free choice is now. You want to listen, or do you not want to? You want to try to get your kingdom back, or you want to listen to what God said? And I think the greatness of Rechavam is, most other leaders, and we're going to see what Yeravam does, when faced with the choice of ruling their kingdom, of personal power, and listening to God, choose personal power. And Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, when faced with that choice, chooses to listen to God. And that's a symbol of greatness. Yeah.
Shlomo doesn't tell us that the Navi ever approached Shlomo, or Shlomo ever had a
Shlomo, you mean?
Yeah.
To warn him not to let his wives worship idols?
Yeah, nothing came to
what about when the Navi said to him, just do us a favor. No idolatry, none, zippo, zilch, nothing, nada,
at the very beginning.
The very beginning.
Right.
No idols, did I mention no idols? Right. You don't have to be nice, you don't have to be kind, I don't even care if you keep Shabbos. No idols. Am I being clear?
But Shlomo's advisors were the ones who didn't really hesitate to offer a peaceful and conciliatory approach. So Shlomo himself might have understood that too, but it doesn't sound like he really proactively was involved.
Need one tell the king of Israel who built the Beit HaMikdash, who wrote the books of Mishlei, Kohelet, and Shir HaShirim? Need one tell him, you know, your wives really shouldn't be worshipping other gods in your house?
Well, wasn't that the function of the Navi?
Maybe the Navi was. Right, there's no record of it.
Yeah.
But even so, can you really say, can Shlomo really claim, but God, you never told me? Does it seem legitimate to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine that with Shlomo anyway. Mm-hmm. You know? So and what is Shlomo? Ah, they're not really doing it. It's not, Unfortunately, the Navi and the prophets had a very hard job because more often than not, they were ignored than listened to. Most often. Right? Sounds like rabbis. Okay. What's that?
It's hard to be a Navi.
It's hard to be a Navi. Navis had hard jobs. Yeah. Well, as we're going to see, as Malachim rolls on, it's the pitch to be a Navi. It's bad. Okay. Yeravam built up Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim. And he went out from there and he built up Penuel. Meaning, he was anointed in Shechem. He made the king. Everybody knows where Shechem is, where Nablus is. Smack in the center of the country. Great location. Right between two mountains. You control the mountains, you control the city. You're fine. Anybody ever go to Elon Moreh? Anybody ever visit Elon Moreh? Oh, Elon Moreh, what a place. Elon Moreh, it's called Elon Moreh, because Moreh means to see. Mm-hmm. You stand on Elon Moreh, you can see it miles and miles. You go to the top of the hill in Elon Moreh, you can see for miles and miles. You can see Har Gerizim and Har Eival. You can see all the Shem, you can see the entire plain, the entire Bika. It's really a beautiful place. The only problem with Elon Moreh is you have to pass through a couple of arid villages to get there. Mm-hmm. And doing it to Friday is just brutal. But Jews live there. Anyway, Vayomer Yeravam belibo. Yeravam said in his heart, Atah tashuv hamam lacha lebeit David. What's going to happen? The monarchy is going to return to the house of David. Why? Because remember, there's a halacha. The halacha is shalosh tamim bashana yira'eh kol zichurachai panei Hashem elokecha b'makom asher yivchar. There's a ritual. The ritual is called Aliyah L'Regel. 3 times a year, or at least once a year, all Jewish males were required to
go up to Yerushalayim.
What's going to happen? These guys are all Yerushalayim, and they're going to see the king. Oh, yeah, what about our king? Without a king. Okay. If they would go and make offerings in Jerusalem, they're going to go back to Rechavam, to their master, the Haraguni, kill me, v'shavu el Rechavam, melech Yehuda, go back to Rechavam.
Right, but aren't these the same people who are just complaining to him? Is this the people he's talking about that were complaining, that didn't want, that were saying, you know, don't place such a burden on us, and they're going to automatically go, oh, there's a king, let's go with him?
What was Hillary Rodham Clinton's poll numbers in the 70s about 2 months ago?
What'd you
say? What Hillary Clinton's poll numbers in the 70s, 2 months ago? She was as popular as can be.
Okay.
Yeah, and today? She can't buy a vote.
Yeah.
Why?
Literally.
People are funny that way.
People are
fickle. They wanted to be yesterday, but now they're going to come back and realize, what are they missing? When they abandoned, this is the most important part of the parak. When they abandoned Rechavam, what else did they abandon?
Jerusalem.
And?
God.
Right. Everybody knows God picked the house of David. And connected to the house of David, who built God's house? So if they return to God's house,
they want them to stick around.
They return to God's king. That's just the way it's going to be. So, but then, the only way, then, if that's true, the only way to get them to abandon God's king is?
Give them other places to go to give sacrifice.
To get them another God.
Oh.
Either the king and the God and the tribe go hand in hand. Remember I said there was a midrash I wanted to read you. Ma lanu ben David. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, you don't have this midrash in your sheets. Shimon ben Yochai said, "B'shlosha dvarim atidim limos." When God talked to Shmuel, the prophet Shmuel, and Shmuel said, "I don't want to give him the king," and he says, "All right, give him the king." God said, "They will rebel. They will be upset about 3 things: b'malchut shamayim. Malchut shamayim means the heavenly kingdom. U'b'malchut beit David." And the kingdom of David, ubudinyan Beit Hamikdash, the building of Beit Hamikdash. Meaning, those 3 things go together. You rebel against one, you rebel against the other. If you rebel against the kingdom of David, you also rebel against the Beit Hamikdash, and you rebel against the Beit Hamikdash, you rebel against God. So what does your Rabbam do? Vayivae Tamelech, the king asks for advice. This is unbelievable. I mean, I'm still at a loss as to how he can do this. He makes 2 golden calves. And he says to them, Rab lechem, me'alot Yerushalayim. You don't need to go to Yerushalayim. I'm closer. Hine Elohecha Yisrael asher he'elucha me'eret Mitzrayim. These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. What is that obviously borrowing from?
The golden.
David, what is that borrowing? What did the Bnei Yisrael say when they made the Egel Hazahar? What did they say? Ela Elohecha Yisrael Asher Lucha. Literally the exact same words. Like,
you didn't learn once?
Right.
You forgot so fast.
You know it's a little crazy? The Midrash went, Vayasam et achad beveitel. Put one in Beitel, in the south. Ve'et achad natan bedan. And one of them he placed in Dan. So now obviously we have a number of critically important questions. Somebody give me a couple of good questions.
What the heck was he thinking?
Well, I know. We know what he was thinking. Remember, he has a choice. He has a choice. What's his choice?
Let them go.
Right. His choice is be the king
or not be the
king. Be the king and not follow God or not be the king and follow God. So what does he choose?
Be the king.
To be the king. I want to be the king.
Good to be king.
Right. It's good to be king. Okay? So what's the question, Meyer? What do you think?
How can they believe it?
It's one thing I know what the king did. Mm-hmm. What about everybody else?
You think they'd say, are you kidding?
Right, yeah. Anybody else? No, that's it?
Why two of them?
They follow, like, switch
the
religion at the drop of a hat.
Wow, okay.
But they don't really believe in Hashem.
Oh. Right. The first question is, how do they go along with it? The second question is, who initiates? Who really initiates the process of the abandonment of God?
Is it
Yerubbaam or is it the people? And I'm going to show you dueling Midrashim. Look at the sheets I have prepared for you. So painstakingly.
Seems like that.
Source number 5. Four. Source number 4, please. Look at my Sanhedrin. What did you say? David, what did you say?
I think that God initiated the problem.
No, God would say no. Shlomo started the problem.
Shlomo?
Sure. Why? That's right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, look at source number 4. Atata Shiva Mamlacha Lebeit David. Amar Rav Nachman said, Gasut HaRuach Shehayabo B'Yerubbaam Tirdato Min HaOlam. What is Gasut Ruach Torah? Gasut Ruach?
Arrogance,
haughtiness, self-importance that was in Yerubbaam removed him from the world. So Ne'amar, as it says, Vayam Yerubbaam Bliba, Yerubbaam said, blah, 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 blah. Amar Yerubbaam, skip to the end of the bold. Amar Yerubbaam, said Yerubbaam, Gemire, we've learned, De'ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Ela L'malchei Beit Yehuda Bilvad. The king, the only person permitted to sit in the courtyard of God is the kings from Judah, Malchut Beit Yehuda. No one else can sit. So what's going to happen? Okay, everybody goes up to the Beis HaMikdash. Rechavam is there and I'll be there. Except he'll be sitting and I'll be standing. So what's going to happen? Savrei HaMalka v'HaAvda. The people will think, he's the king and I'm the slave. And you know what? They'll be right. Okay. V'iyativna, and if I sit, Mori b'malchut havai v'katlin li. Well, if I sit, then they're going to, who are you to sit? And they'll kill me. So he says, well, what's the only action then?
Not go.
And if I don't go,
my people,
they're not going. That's why he built the Egal Hazad. Okay. It says, v'yiva'et David ha'melech. V'yiva'et means, well, how do you translate it? And he got the advice. Vayiva'et. My Vayiva'et. I'm Rav Yehuda. He's Rav Yehuda. Shehoshiv Rasha Eitzel Tzadik. They had a big meeting in the Shechem Coliseum, right? And in this meeting, they had seats. And he sat every time there was a righteous person who we knew would never go wrong with this. He sat next to him, a Rasha. Amar Lehu, he said to them, Chatim tu al kol Davida. You want me to be your leader? Will you agree? Will you do whatever I say? Amar Hain. We'll do it. We're with you. Amar Lehu. He says, Malka ba'ina l'mahave. Okay, make me your king. And what do they say? Hain. Yes. Kol da'amina l'chu avidetu. Everything I tell you, you'll do. And they said?
Yes.
Ra. Hain. Afilu l'michlach la'avod es kochavim? Would you even worship an idol if I told you to? What? By the way, isn't the build-up beautiful, the oratory?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to be your leader? We want you! You want me to be your king? We want you! Will you do everything I say? We'll do it! Will you worship idols for me? All the time. Good ones.
All the time.
It's good to have good speaking abilities. You get people to do anything. Amar Leitzadi. Chas v'shalom! No way! Worship idols? Amar Leitzadi Leitzadi. Said the Rasha. Come on, you really think a guy like Yeravam would worship idols? Please. He's just testing us to see if we'll go along with whatever he says. So say yeah. Will you do it to worship? Will you worship idols for me?
Sure.
Whatever you say. And before you know it, he wasn't just saying it. According to that Midrash, who initiates? Whose idea is it to have idolatry in the land? Yeravam's. It's Yeravam's idea. Turn the page to source number 6. How much time do I have?
You don't really have
4 minutes.
Time?
We'll give him the time. We'll follow.
Someone
I invoke the Einstein principle. If I go fast enough, maybe time will stand still. Man, okay. Yom Samalach Yeravam al Yisrael. When Yeravam became king, Atun Kol Yisrael Lagabe Bepate Ramsha. They came to him in the evening. Amrulei, they said to him, Kum Avod Avodah Zara. They said to him, let's worship idols. All the people. The people said to Yeravam. So the most fascinating thing about this Midrash is to me, it's not that Yeravam said it to the people. The people came to him and said, this ain't going to be no religious monarchy. I'm alone. He said to them, Apte Ramsahi, it's light. Isti v'lo isti kol amasatu, right? I'm like a drunk, but not a drunk, because everybody else is drunk. Imatun ba'an, azun batim b'safa. If you really want it, come when you're not drunk. You guys have all had one too many. We parted a little hearty. Come back in the morning. Right? Kol alayla lo yashan opehem. Okay? The whole night, they didn't want to sleep. They were like, yeah, we need idolatry. We need idolatry. Why do they need idolatry so bad? Who are they mad at, remember? Who are they mad at? They're mad at Shlomo and therefore Rechavam. But they can't just rebel against Rechavam, because remember, if they're rebelling against Rechavam, they're rebelling against everything that he represents. Who picked that family? God. So they can't take it anymore. We can't take it anymore. We can't take that God anymore. It all goes together. The next morning, the Tzafra Atun Gadeh, they came, Amulon. He said to them, Kedon ana yoda da'atun bain, you know, okay, that I know what you want. Ela da'ana da'chem is Sanhedrin yichon, lo yitiluni. He said, but if I worship idols, your Sanhedrin is going to kill me. Amrulei, they said, Yeravam, anon katlin, and we'll kill them if they lay a hand on you. Who will we kill?
The Sanhedrin.
Rav Levi Amar Hargam, Rav Levi says, they actually went and wiped out the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Lo Amar Harida Migulasam. Rabbi says no. He says they just fired them. They fired the Sanhedrin. Migaram Lahem, and who's caused it? They're the wine. But what's interesting to me, most interesting about that Midrash is that according to the second Midrash, the people initiate. It's not Yeravam, it's the people. They are the ones that come to Yeravam and say, we gotta worship idols. This kingdom isn't worth me anymore. What's so interesting to me is, and you find this very often, there's a very big danger of having religion enmeshed with politics. Because when you enmesh in religion with politics, people associate the religion with the politics. It's a very big danger of having religious parties, let's say in Israel, in the Knesset. Because when things don't go right, they say, see the religious, all they want is money. Doesn't mean you can't have religious people in government, but when you represent religion, if they don't like the government,
they don't
like the religion. And we see, so how did everybody go along going to that Midrash? Why did they go along? They wanted it. They couldn't take the taxes anymore. The government was too much. And if they can't take God's government, they don't want God either. It's a very dangerous lesson. Okay, we'll continue next week.